good evening, dear listener. Let's leave her up there, shall we? The Queen of Sheba, halfway along. Yes, we'll just... I didn't mean to turn her off completely. I'm obviously having a moment. That's not a good start for the show, is it? It doesn't all go well for the next 2 hours, in which I hope I'll be playing you the best music on the planet, of course. I've got a little bit of a departure tonight on something, but I'll save you that little treat for after our first track, which, as always, is normally something pretty loud. So we might as well just go for something, you know, that'll just knock your socks off, shall we? What a way to start the show. How do you follow that? I'm sure I'll follow it with something. Otherwise, won't be any airtime for the next 57 minutes. That was Karlov, of course. Oh Fortuna from Carmina Burana. If my voice is sounding a little bit gravelly tonight, I have not been chewing on razor blades, people. I have been singing. And for those of you that were fortunate enough to have tickets to the amazing performance from Sidmouth Choral Society and the Chapel Choir of the University of Exeter last night in the parish church, you will know of what I speak or of whatever I'm speaking, because I can't speak much. Maybe I should have put some longer tunes in tonight. So, yeah, fantastic performance from everybody, and just I've never felt such amazing energy when I've been singing as the choir produced last night in the parish church. Absolutely unbelievable. I've got I think I've got at least one piece from last night's works. I mean, I could have played the whole thing, but it's one of those things, you had to be there. You really had to be there. And it was just stunning. Anyway, I won't bore you with it, but just to let you know that on the 13th of December, we've got another performance, but it's our Christmas performance. And we will be performing John Rutter's Wind in the Willows, as well as Vaughan Williams's Christmas. I always call it a Christmas mashup, which is a bit rude, isn't it, really? But it's like a Christmas mashup. It's got all sorts in there. Oh, ignore me. Just come along. Put it in your diary now, 13th of December. Anyway, that was the London Philharmonic Orchestra under David Parry doing the brilliant O Fortuna. You know, I've never sung that. It's a brilliant piece of music, isn't it? Never sung it. So for those of you that are new to the show, you're very, very welcome. Every Sunday night, 8 till 10, Sid Valley Radio. We have a bit of classical music, and it is classical music that you will probably know. And you've probably heard it before, but you didn't realise it was classical. Plenty of that going on. And I always play what I call the Holy Trinity, Beethoven, Bach and Mozart. And so I'll have something from each of those guys. And also, a little departure for this evening, I'm actually going to do in homage to Remembrance Weekend, because of course it was the Remembrance concert we did last night, and I had the privilege of representing Sidmouth Chamber of Commerce this morning at the memorial service at the church this morning, and I was in the parade with my lovely poppy wreath, which I laid on behalf of the Chamber of Commerce today. So it's been quite an emotional weekend, one way and another. So I'm feeling a bit mashed up myself. Talk about Vaughan Williams doing his Christmas mashup. I got a bit mashed up too. So, but what I've decided to do tonight, because I wanted to bring in some of the remembrance music, and the Coldstream Guards kept coming up. So what I've got is I've got four pieces of music from the Coldstream Guards. Let's play the first one now, and it's you'll know this, and it sort of puts a smile on my face, because every Christmas without fail it's on the television somewhere, isn't it? The Great Escape, of course. There you go, the Coldstream Guards band, Love a Man in Uniform, and there are plenty of those around Sidmouth this morning and elsewhere. So my dad was a man in uniform. He's a police officer. It was funny, who was I talking to the other day? And I was talking to a young girl I know, sort of arm's length, and I know her dad as well, but I never knew what he did. So I was talking to this young girl who should remain nameless. I said, what does your dad actually do? And she went, oh, I don't know. She's about 13. And I thought to myself, you know, how many 13-year-old girls actually know what their dads do? And the only reason I knew what my dad did was because he was in uniform. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have known that he was a police officer. But there we go. Oh, dear, 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 dear. I don't know. Anyway, Coldstream Guards band. And that is not the last we will have heard from those guys. There's at least three more. I think there's three more coming up from those people. And they just do a great job, don't they? Bit of Wagner now, and we don't often play Wagner, but I think there's only about two of his that I play, and this is one of them. I'm not particularly keen on Wagner. He's a bit chewy, isn't he? I'm not going to do the entire Ring cycle. Don't worry about that, folks. I'm just going to play the prelude to Act 3 from Lohengrin. and it just gets cut off like that because it goes into something else. Did you spot that little bit of Mendelssohn on the end there, the wedding march from A Midsummer Night's Dream, the little tinker ripping off his mate? Actually, I don't think they got on. And it's really quite funny because without any planning whatsoever, I cannot hold myself responsible for what's going to happen now, because I actually have got a piece of Mendelssohn coming up right after this. So how strange was that? Raphael Kubelik there was conducting the Bavarian Radio Symphony Orchestra. It went straight out of my head. Sorry about that. Sorry, Bavarian Radio Symphony Orchestra. My apologies. Raphael Kubelik doing a great job. And yeah, and here's a piece of Mendelssohn, which I say completely by coincidence, I have actually lined up for the next piece. And it is a piano concerto. And it's his first one. And it's the third movement from that. Thank you. That guy had lots of fingers on each hand, didn't he? Herbert Blomstedt. Jean-Yves Thibaudet even was conducting him and the Gewandhaus Orchestra in that piano concerto at number one by Mendelssohn. So how has your week been, children? I've had a really busy week. It's been really, really busy. We've had had quite a busy weekend, as you can tell, because of the concert yesterday. But we rehearsed on Friday night, we rehearsed on Saturday afternoon, then we had the performance on Saturday night. So I have to say, I'm more than a bit washed out. So I hope if you had a busy weekend, you're not feeling as, I'm exhausted, because I still feel quite emotional, you know, because I always find Remembrance Weekend quite emotional anyway. So to be so involved with the concert and then the parade this morning, I do feel very... you know, full of remembrance stuff, which is probably why I've got the Coldstream Guards coming up several times. Anyway, it's a privilege, isn't it, to be in a country that, you know, we were literally stacked out outside the church for the service this morning, absolutely shoulder to shoulder. And the rain held off right up until the end of God Save the King, at which point it started to be a light smattering. So at least we managed to march in the dry, even if we didn't get home completely unsoaked. But, what a privilege it was to stand there with so many people and children as well. It's just so lovely. I remember my boys, Richard, my eldest, being a standard bearer for the Scouts one year. And they're all still there, the Scouts and the Brownies and all those youngsters, all still, you know, coming to hear what happened, you know, and to celebrate or commemorate the lives of those who gave their lives for us. It's quite amazing, isn't it? And it's such a wonderful thing to see that hopefully, you know, we won't forget. But yeah, bit of a privilege. What have we got going on now? I've got a Symphony No. 8 by Dvorak. I think it starts quiet and then it gets a bit more interesting. So don't turn it up, as the BBC always say. Do not adjust your set.
Thank you.
Ah, there we go. That was the Los Angeles Philharmonic with Dvorak Symphony No. 8 in G major, the third movement. The wonderful Gustavo Dudamel was conducting. I love the dude. He's got such fantastic hair, doesn't he? It's so curly. And he's getting a bit older now, so he's got a bit of a splash of grey in there, which is very, very, well, it's just delightful. I've got more than a splash of grey in my hair at the moment. I've decided to, I decided about 12, 18 months ago that I was going to let the natural grey come in, because I had very, very dark hair as a child, almost black. And I got my first grey hair at the age of 26. Would you don't? Honestly, 26. Life can be cruel. Anyway, so I started, you know, doing the occasional touch-up job. And then you end up, don't you, sort of, in midlife, getting your hair done every 6 weeks with hair. And do you know what I thought? It's not so much the cost of it, which it wasn't cheap, but it was the faff. I can do without it. And I look around and there's plenty of ladies out there with grey hair that look absolutely wonderful. So I thought, bite the bullet, Denise. So me and Gustavo Dudamel, although his hair is better than mine, because he's got all this curly stuff going on and I don't have that. But look, at least, you know, I have hair, which is great. And it is looking, you know, someone said to me last night that it looked fabulous. And I'm thinking, are you being nice or what? But they were being nice. And, you know, it doesn't matter what colour your hair is, does it really? Anyway, so the boss has just walked in. And of course, he's got a lovely shock of grey hair, looking fabulous as well. Yes, and he's just running his fingers. It's white hair. Yes, it is white. And he's running his fingers through it. I better play the next bit of music before I get into trouble, because I don't want him to sack me or anything. This is a bit of music. You might well have heard it before. I love it. There's any number of versions of this. This is the Libertango by Astor Piazzolla. And I've got Yo-Yo Ma playing it this time. There we go. I'm going to tell the boss to go away. Thank you. Off he goes, old Yo-Yo Ma with his friends, and there goes the boss having distracted me so that I forgot to put the fader up so you could hear the music in the first place. I am so sorry about that. I'm going to blame the boss for that. He's about to go off. Are you going now, boss? He's going. I'm going to play the magic flute from Mozart, the first of our Holy Trinity. the wonderful Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra there under Sir George Salty. And that's the first of our Holy Trinity, Beethoven and Bach, to follow at some point, but not just yet. Because we've got a bit of Vivaldi now. Well, why not? I haven't heard from him for a while. And no, I'm not playing anything from the Four Seasons, even though, gosh, the weather. I mean, once it started raining at 11 o'clock, the weather really pulled in very quickly. And as I got out of the car here at the studio about an hour ago or so, just an hour and a half ago, nearly got blown off my feet. It was like Winnie Pooh in The Windy Day. Did you ever see that that drawing that Shepherd did in the book where, you know, Piglet is like a kite because the windy day is just taking him off his feet? I felt a bit like Piglet being taken off my feet. Yes, not no good being small in a blustering gale, is it? Anyway, less of that and more of the Vivaldi. Nothing to do with the Four Seasons. It is, in fact, the Cello Concerto in C major. Often hear that one, do we? I think that's quite nice. I like the bit of percussion there. I'm not quite sure whether they were actually tapping on the cello or whether there was a drum involved. Anyway, the London Chamber Orchestra, Hannah Chang was on the cello, Christopher Warren Green conducting, the lot of them. Quite interesting. And I have forgotten to mention, sorry folks, that if you wanted to get in touch with this show, and if you're listening to this on Sunday, the 9th, isn't it? Then I am live at the moment between 8 and 10, and you can email me studio@sidvalleyradio.co.uk or text me 07565 825 041. I got stopped at the when the service had finished this morning after Remembrance Day parade by a lady who recognised me from the, because I'm so short, I'm on the front row of the choir, and she recognised me from the night before, and she'd been in the audience listening to the concert, so she came over to say how wonderful it was. That was really nice of her. So I didn't think I was that obvious, but obviously I am, like, even though I'm only 5'1", 5'2" of a back comb, my hair, of course. So yeah, you can in fact email me again, studio@sidbaleyradio.co.uk, or text 07565 825 041. And if you were there last night and you want to say how wonderful Sid with the Choral Society, I will pass on your kind regards. Should we have some real fireworks? Because I nearly played this last week and I thought it's a bit sort of twee, isn't it? But there's been fireworks going on all week, hasn't there? So let's have some, shall we? This is a bit of Handel, isn't it? A bit of Handel, because of course he does my Queen of Sheba music at the top of the show, doesn't he? But that was Alison Balsam with her own ensemble, her eponymous ensemble, and Simon Wright conducting everybody else. Just great stuff. So yes, that was the seventh movement, the minuet from the Music for the Royal Fireworks. And this is another one of our cold stream. My dear, I was that cold this morning. I felt like screaming. I'm not very good in the cold. I did have a vest on and everything. And for regular listeners, you'll know that I have any number of vests, and sometimes I wear more than one. Anyway, I was only wearing the one vest. The Cold Stream Guards Band, back again. And this is a cute little piece, which is, and this is deliberate now, because I did pick up, this is a mashup between Arna and Handel, and we've just had a bit of Handel, haven't we? So this is called, it's a little medley, and it's called, it's only 2.5 minutes, Nation's Pride.
Thank you.
Oh, just wonderful. I very nearly stood up and threw a kipper then. It was just wonderful. Just, and for those of you that don't know, throwing a kipper means saluting. I know this because my brother-in-law used to be in the RAF and he said, got to throw a kipper. Because in my mind, kippers are smoked fish, aren't they? And my grandfather on the other side was Manx, and Manx kippers are a big thing. You know, in the Isle of Man, kippers are the thing. And I have to say, I've never tasted a kipper as good as a Manx kipper. And so when Keith mentioned about throwing a kipper, I just, you know, when you're sort of younger, and I think I must have only been a bit of a teenager because it was my eldest sister's husband. And I knew what a kipper was. It was a smoked fish. Lovely with butter and black pepper on, of course. And it's strange, isn't it, when you get visions in your head when somebody says something to you when you're quite young and you don't understand the colloquialism or the idiom, and you just see people, you know, people in the RAF picking up, you know, smoked fish off their plates and chucking them across the room. Oh, dear, 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 dear. I don't know. I don't know. Now, I did remember, I'll say it again, I did say at the beginning of the show that for those of you that are uninitiated in the ways of happy classics, a lot of the music I play, you'll recognise it. And this is another one that you will recognise. I'll be astounded if you don't. Do you know that tune, Stranger in Paradise? Yeah, listen up. Thank you. Oh, did you sing along to the bits that you knew? Take my hand, I'm a stranger in paradise. Yes, that one, because you knew this tune before I played it. But that was Borodin, for those of you that didn't know. And that's Polovtsian Dances, she says, easy for me to say, from Prince Igor. And the wonderful conductor holding the whole shebang together was Valery Gergiev, and he was conducting the Mariinsky Orchestra. Now, the wonderful singers, now I've never sung this, but I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind joining that choir to be able to sing that. And that choir, of course, was the Kirov Chorus, St. Petersburg. Just wonderful stuff. Now, again, for the uninitiated that don't know how the show works, I do have a little moment now. And one of my regular listeners, Anthony, just rolls his eyes and goes and puts the kettle on, because we're now going to do a bit of stargazing. So for the last, I say it every week, but I'm going to, again, for the uninitiated, for the last few years I've been studying, just had a message from Anthony, who's just dashed out to the kitchen. I've been studying ancient astrology, so this is basically just what the planets were doing back in the day. And the ancient astrologers were called mathematicae, and because, of course, they had to sort of calculate where the planets were, what they were doing, and all the rest of it. Anyway, so I am a sort of... I obviously don't have to calculate things out, because we have computer programs that do it all for us, so I have a bit of an easy ride when it comes to... astrology these days. But I have been studying pretty intensively for the last 2.5, nearly 3 years now, and it's really quite interesting, but I won't bore you with it. I'll just tell you what's happening in the skies at the moment. So last week I did mention that we had Mars, which is the planet of war, arguments and all the rest of it, was going to go into direct opposition with Uranus, the planet of the unexpected. I always say the planet of you didn't see that coming, did you? And so I did warn people, and I should have taken my own advice, that be very careful, because arguments can come out of somewhere that you just didn't expect. And I have to say, I ended up in a very, very difficult conversation with someone a couple of days ago. And it's like, for heaven's sake, you know, I just wanted a chat. I didn't expect it to go into this, you know, enormous nuclear explosion. It's like, I just wanted to have a chat about that, that's all. And it literally just went from, it went to DEFCON 5 in about 30 seconds, and I thought, I just wasn't expecting it. Which means, for the rest of the time when that Mars is in any direct opposition with you, and just talk about the weather, you know, with someone, just talk about the weather, talk about, you know, how's your dog, maybe not even ask how the dog is, because if the dog's not well, then you're in another big mess. Just talk about the weather, just do the English thing, talk about the weather. So I'll be talking about the weather now for the next couple of weeks, because that Mars thing is still going on. Uranus is a very slow-moving planet. Mars moves a bit quicker, but we've still got that difficult aspect. Now, today, the 9th of November, Mercury went retrograde. Now, what this means is that when you're looking up at the sky, it looks like the planet is going backwards. It isn't really. It's still moving forwards round the Earth, but it sort of does that little sort of spiraling. Do you remember those spiral graphs where you just do like little circles, like little spirals? So it looks like it's going backwards. Now, Mercury is the planet of communication, and it goes retrograde 3 times a year. So it's going to be retrograde pretty much for the rest of the month. So be very careful when you are... This is another communication issue, isn't it? You know. So if you're sending emails, make sure you've got the right person and right person's name in the box, and you know, be careful what you say, because someone might take it the wrong way. And if you're looking at contracts, please scrutinise them, and then before you sign them, scrutinise them again, and then have another look before you put your name down, if you have to. If you can avoid putting your name on anything between now and December, please do. But if you're exchanging contracts in a house or buying communication equipment, anything like that, Mercury's very good at the old tech snafu. So be careful with your emails, any form of communication, and dare I say short distance travel. So yeah, so Mercury's not that great at the minute. It's going backwards, and it's going to be going backwards for the rest of the month. Also going backwards in 2 days' time is Jupiter, which is the planet of expansion and beneficence, and it's going to be going backwards for the next 3 months. Now, Jupiter, when it normally goes expansive outwards, but when it's going retrograde, it's going to sort of direct that energy inwards. So you might feel a bit introspective, or you just might go and review things, your own goals and your what you need emotionally at the moment, because Jupiter will be going inwards. And then, as if that wasn't enough, and I did say last week that, you know, November was shaping up to be a pretty tricky month. I think it's the most difficult month we've had all year. And on the 13th, Mercury and Mars get together in Sagittarius. So they are occupying the same degree of Sagittarius. Now, this wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't A, Mercury's going backwards, and B, Mercury really hates being in Sagittarius. It really isn't a happy place for Mercury. So you're going to have difficulty there. So bad communication with an potentially explosive, combustible environment. So I suggest on the 13th of November, and Mercury moves pretty quick, even if it is going backwards. It is a fairly quick moving planet, and it'll be picking up speed over the next few days as it's going backwards, and it'll be back again. But be careful, because this Mercury-Mars conjunction in Sagittarius does not make for a happy life. So I suggest you just paint rainbows and unicorns around the house and wrap yourself in cotton wool and everybody else with you, because it could be quite tricky, because it's not great. Anyway, I'll bore you with the next episode next week, because hopefully things will start to get a tiny bit better. But yeah, it's going to be, communication is going to be tricky over the next week. Just be careful. What isn't going to be tricky is the wonderful Maurizio Pollini, who's going to play us some beautiful Chopin. Thank you. just got to let that drift away, don't you? Nocturne number 2 in E-flat. Never managed to get to play any Chopin when I was learning my piano and I got to my grade 5. Never got any further than that, unfortunately. Maybe when I get some time, when I retire, I shall pick up the piano. No, I don't mean physically pick it up. I'm not that strong. Although I have to say, I have got a clarinet in the cupboard. That is supposed to be my retirement learning instrument. I did have a piano, but I had to let it go when I moved house a while back. So, yeah, I've got this clarinet, which has been completely unused. So I am going to, my retirement instrument, and hopefully I can find some poor long-suffering teacher to teach me how to do it. At least I know where the notes are on the page. I know what the notes mean. Whether I can get the notes to come out of the clarinet at the right pitch is a completely different matter, but I'll keep you posted, folks. I'll keep you posted. So another wind instrument now, not the clarinet, but the oboe. And he's a great writer, isn't he, Albinoni, for oboe stuff. So here he is with the B-flat major concerto for that very instrument. Albinoni and the wonderful Alison Alty was playing the oboe for us with her backing group, the London Virtuosi. It sounds like Martha Reeves and the Vandellas, doesn't it? Or Gladys Knight and the Pips. I don't think the London Virtuosi would be very happy to be called the Pips, but you know what I mean. And this is the thing about classical music, isn't it? I mean, that was a very happy piece of music, and that's what Happy Classics is all about. It's about music that sort of is uplifting and puts a little smile on your face. Sometimes it doesn't put a smile on your face. It makes you shed a little bit of a tear. And I have to say, when we were doing our rehearsal on Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock, I was so emotionally taken by what we were singing, had to go home and just have a bit of a boo in order to get it out so that I'd be able to be able to sing that night, because there were at least two pieces that were called Lacrimosa, which of course means tearful, from two different composers. And at one point, I actually had to stop singing because I just couldn't actually get to the next note without booing my eyes out. So I had to sort of gather myself together. And it was quite interesting because our musical director, David Davis, had written a beautiful email to us all to say, you know, he'd been approached by a couple of the members of the choir, not me, but a couple of members of the choir that were having difficulty singing some of the works because they found them just so emotionally charged. And he said, you know, well, of course it is. You know, this is music that helps us remember people who have, you know, given their lives for us. And it makes us reflect on people that we've lost. And of course you're going to be emotional, but that's no bad thing, is it? And I thought about that and I thought, well, this is very true. So I didn't mind going home and booing my eyes out. And I have to say that by the time I got back into the church at 7 o'clock, I was a bit more together so that I did actually manage to sing the entire programme without completely losing it. But it's such gorgeous music. I will be playing at least one piece from that. I think, yes, I have. I've got the In Paradisum from Fauré's Requiem coming up later on. And that was just beautifully sung, mostly by the sopranos. I mean, I sing tenor. I mean, with a voice this deep, I'm never going to get in the rafters with the sops. But absolutely gorgeous stuff. But I'll save that for a minute. Let's go on to our next. I think I've got both of our remaining Holy Trinity members, one after the other. And I've got this Bagatelle number 14, I think it is, although it doesn't say it on here, by Beethoven. And of course, we know the Bagatelle 14 better as the Fur Elise. Alice Sarah Otter there with that gorgeous piece of Beethoven. I always have a little giggle to myself when I see the name of the next piece. I shouldn't really, because every time I think about it, I'm thinking mint sauce. It is, of course, Sheep May Safely Graze by J.S. Bach. It's very naughty of me, isn't it? Sheep May Safely Graze. Well, they might do, but they still end up on your plate, unless you're a vegan or a vegetarian, of course. Anyway, I'll stop talking about roast lamb. And just play it, shall I? Yes, let's play it. Oh, look at those cute little sheep running around. Richard Heyman there conducting the the Philharmonic Symphony Orchestra. Sorry, you just like to see those little fluffy sheep, don't you? And there they were, safely grazing, thanks to J.S. Bach. Now, this was a piece of music at our concert last night, but it wasn't a choral piece, it was an organ piece. And one of the students from the Exeter University Choral Society, Chapel Choir, played this. It was Nimrod, Algar's Nimrod Variations. And it started off so quietly, you could barely hear it. And I'm thinking, oh, gosh, they haven't turned up the organ properly. And then, of course, it just builds to this amazing crescendo. And the young man that performed was just exceptional, I have to say. But we've got our lovely Coldstream Guards band back again. Let's see if they can do as good a job. I'm sure they can. dear me, it's such an emotional piece of music, that, isn't it? You can't listen to it without getting a bit stirred up. Oh, gorgeous. Absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. So, yeah, our wonderful, marvellous, super-duper, fantastic, amazing, I can't think of any more superlatives, Coldstream Guards band there. We've got one more from them before the end of the show. Something a bit less stirring now, a bit of a smooth brush of the hair. Did you ever have anyone brush your hair? I used to like having my hair brushed. I was having my hair done on Friday. And I do like it when my hairdresser brushes my hair. It's different when somebody else does it, isn't it? You don't have too many people touch your head, do you? If you think about it, how many people actually touch your head? They don't, do they? But when somebody does do that and gently puts their hand over your head, there's a sort of a calming effect to that, isn't there? Well, that I'm trying to get to the point, which is this piece of music is one of those. It's like someone has just stroked your hair or stroked your head or brushed your hair. It's one of those. And it's just like that. It's a musical version of that. It's one of the bagatelles from Gerald Finzi. Sorry, I'm trying to paint a picture for you here. I'm failing miserably, I'm sure. And it's the number 4 from his 5 bagatelles. It's the Falana. But just close your eyes and imagine somebody stroking your hair. That's what this is. There's a man who can play a clarinet. That's Richard Stoltzman there. So I don't suppose he started learning the clarinet when he started thinking about retirement. He probably had many a long year before he could play like that. And he did a great job, didn't he? Robert Salter was conducting the Guildhall String Ensemble, who did a beautiful job in the background. Yeah, Finzi, 5 bagatelles. I think I've played the carol from that as well at some point in the past. Just beautiful music, Finzi. He's a typical, they call it light English classical, don't they? It's that sort of thing, yeah. So sort of your Percy Grainger and people like that. But yeah, just very accessible, delightful music, which is just perfect for this time of the evening, don't you think? Now we've got a Requiem piece. Now this is not one of the ones we sang last night. This is Rutter's Requiem, and I have actually sung this. And this is the Piazzi from that. Fancy being able to reach those notes. Boy soprano there. I can't tell you what his name is because I don't actually know. But that, of course, was John Rutter's Requiem, the Piazzi from that. And the City of London Sinfonia was the orchestra. I think John Rutter, was he conducting it himself? No, he wasn't. It was Sir Stephen Clearbury. I think it's quite an interesting thing, isn't it, Rutter and a Requiem? Because we mostly think of Rutter. Because he does a lot of Christmas music, doesn't he? And I think I mentioned earlier on at the beginning of the show, we are doing Rutter's version of The Wind in the Willows for our Christmas concert, Sid Valley, not for Sid Valley Radio, that's what I'm on now, Sidmouth Choral Society. I'll get myself sorted out in a minute. 13th of December. And Rutter wrote the music for that, which should be fun. And David Davis had us doing some very interesting vocal noises, nothing at all, nothing to do with music, but to do with making it sound like a car or something, because there's plenty of very silly things in John Rutter's Wind in the Willows. Do come along and listen and have a bit of a giggle. Right, what have we got now then? We've got Marin Alsop is going to conduct the Royal Scottish National Orchestra with Barber's Adagio for strings. Now, this is a treat. Oh, that's just does something to you, doesn't it? It's a bit like the Nimrod we had a little while ago. Just beautiful. Maren Allsop, as I said, conducting the RSNO, Royal Scottish National Orchestra. Now, this is the Requiem piece that we sang last night in Paradiso and Fanfare. And, well, just listen. Those sopranos had the voices of angels, didn't they? So in Paradiso, you could be forgiven for thinking that you were in paradise if you closed your eyes and just listened to them. So Neville Mariner was conducting the Academy of St Martin in the Fields and the Academy of St Martin in the Fields chorus. Who knew there was one? Well, you do now. Just beautiful stuff. The last one of our Coldstream Guards tunes now, and this one, I can't think about this one without thinking of my grandfather. It was one of his favourite hymns, and it's very appropriate for today, isn't it? Abide with me. Oh, we've got the tech gremlins. That's because, like I mentioned a minute ago, we have got the situation with Mercury going backwards. I want my hymn back, please. And it's disappeared off. I can't even see it now. There it is. I'm just going to put my Coldstream Guards back up and we're going to try and play that again. I hope my granddad was listening to that one. That was one of his favourites. And I'm sorry about the little tech blip there at the start of that. But you might have caught a tiny couple of seconds of the final piece of music we have on the show tonight, which is a piece of music from the movies. It's from John Williams, who wrote the music for Saving Private Ryan, but it is no less moving for being a piece of film music. Hymn to the Fallen, just gorgeous.
Thank you.
Well, that's our last piece of music for tonight. And unfortunately, my music for my ending of my show has decided to disappear. I think I've definitely got the gremlins in the studio this evening. I hope you enjoyed it anyway, and I look forward to your company. Sid Valley Radio, Happy Classics here next Sunday between 8 and 10. Thank you and good night.